The Shift Show, Captain's Log, Episode 17. In today's episode, Dwayne and Joe beam aboard a guest expert officer to discuss and discover the note-taking and information-gathering software called Microsoft OneNote. Could it be from the 24th century? Computer, create new notebook, template Theta Alpha 7.
Hey, buddy. How's the weather there?
Funny you should ask. Seeing as how I lost a router with a lightning strike yesterday and recording from a different place today because of that, with a little bit of network access, but it's still thunderstorms and lightning. Pretty odd for this early March here.
It feels a lot earlier than normal, for sure. Yeah. Radar yesterday was awful. I was getting alerts about, you know, lightning strikes nearby, severe weather. I was like, geez, not even hurricane season
yet. We had
yet.
Like a couple weeks of 80 degrees, and this weekend it's going to be getting in, I don't know, maybe a 30s and high winds, and it's going to be crazy. So
Florida weather is so dumb.
It's like Florida man weather.
Yeah. Well, this is a historic moment for us, Joe. This is the first time that we've ever had a guest on our show.
Yeah, this is exciting to be able to talk to someone, an expert in their field. And
we've never had an expert on the show.
We never have, clearly. So that's a great thing to dive in and see how to do this way.
We're going to talk about OneNote, and OneNote is a tool that you and I use quite a bit in our server admin daily life. Like, that's basically where we're going to go if we need to know how to do something, like a procedure or something. And, you know, you got us on OneNote a few years ago, and we haven't stopped. Haven't looked back since.
Yeah, this is the second position I've been in where we kind of really push forward with OneNote. I think the previous position I was in, we had over 600 pages of procedures and operations and disaster recovery information on all the services we were responsible for. So it's a great place to put it.
Yeah. And in this episode, you are going to hear why. And so our special guest is Heather Severino. She's a five-time Microsoft MVP, which is a most valued professional, which means that she makes lots of contributions to the overall community around Office applications and services, which is pretty awesome. She's also a Microsoft certified trainer, which means she has to be certified herself, which she's been certified in Microsoft products since 2006, and she's a great teacher. And there's also there's an interesting wrinkle here, Joe, that she has some, you know, Florida Extension type of affiliation that had a little bit to do with like the direction of her career, which is pretty sweet to hear.
Yeah, I think learning about that background and how it developed into what she does today was great to hear.
Definitely. So this is the first time we've ever done this. So I've never done the transporter thing before. So I'm gonna push this button, and I sure hope that this works.
So she's gonna be beam aboard the Shift Show.
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead and beam her on, and let's get going with the conversation. Hello, and welcome, Heather. Welcome aboard the Shift Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We are going to have a little chat about the trapper keeper of the 21st century is what Joe and I like to call OneNote. And you are like a OneNote wizard. And we're very happy that you can come help us tell our people all about OneNote and your love for it.
Great. And I refer to it the same way. I loved my rainbow trapper keeper back in the day. And I think that's why I love OneNote so much now.
Yeah, they were definitely popular. You had one with a Ferrari on it or like a jet, all kinds of weird 3D abstract art. But
I think mine was filled with UFOs and spaceships or something like that. So
So, first, tell us a little bit about your background and how OneNote kind of became a part of your life, and other things that you do, of course.
Sure. Yeah. So I started my career accidentally, and through that, I started working in an IT department for a local government agency, and discovered Microsoft Office certifications and started getting certified. And it was after I got certified that I started exploring more of the Microsoft applications that I wasn't as familiar with as I was with Outlook and, you know, Word. And one of those was OneNote, and didn't really know what it was about, kind of started teaching myself about it and then helping others within the company I was working at the time to adopt it. And it quickly became the way to kind of track all those things instead of having all those scraps of paper and those sticky notes and everything else that you tend to have all over your desk. It became the place that you can collect all of those things and be able to find them and reference them later.
Awesome. That's a great way to sum it up. It takes absolute piles of physical paperwork and makes it so much easier to deal with. And we often see our users use it kind of like an office manuscript, you know, or some way to for the office to function, or our faculty members use it for a procedure for in their lab, or extension offices use it for whatever. So you have a little extension background, right?
I do, actually. That's with cool. With Volusia County, I am a third generation 4-H'er. So my grandfather was a 4-H club leader in Connecticut. So my mom and all of her siblings were members of that club. And when I hit the minimum age, my grandparents made sure they signed me up that day to become a 4-H member. And all through school, elementary, middle school, high school, I was very actively involved in 4-H. It included baking and sewing and crafts. And with my sewing, I was actually modeling the clothes that I made in the Volusia County Fair and the Central Florida Fair. And also got into things like public speaking, where I had the opportunity to go all the way up to state to compete for that at your campus, University of Florida.
Awesome. And I can imagine that 4-H public speaking track probably helped quite a bit with your training career as a Microsoft certified trainer and MVP. That I don't know. I'd like to think extension had a little bit to do with it. So that's cool.
They had a lot to do with it. And I don't want to, you know, for personal reasons, I'll just say first names, but thank you very much, Karin. Thank you very much, Marsha, Shirley, and David. You played a tremendous part in shaping who I've become today. I think also the leadership skills that I learned all throughout my time there was definitely beneficial. And for anyone listening, if you want to volunteer, I'd be happy to come help out with speaking about STEM careers or helping with a STEM project, or maybe even, you know, judging something for you.
That's so cool. All right. Well, we've got a little bit of a structured conversation here in a sense. So we like to keep it down for all of our users who maybe thinking they haven't ever used OneNote before. So if we were going to start off with this, and I think you kind of already summed this up a little bit, it's definitely better than real paper. But why would I want to use OneNote as opposed to just tracking something in Notepad? Or if I wanted to get super fancy, tracking something in like a Word document, even if I'm doing something advanced, like it's in Teams or my OneDrive or something like that, what's OneNote going to get me that's better?
Well, I think you have a lot more tools available to you than you would have in something like WordPad or even Microsoft Word. You know, each of those applications have a really specific use or specific uses that they work well with. But OneNote is different in that you can take notes in all different ways, right? So if you don't like to type notes, but you want to handwrite notes, and that's why you're still using pen and paper, you have digital inking capabilities with different color inks and everything else. You can bring files in and take notes on top of those, or do annotations, like mark up things that need to be edited in that file. So a lot more capabilities, even recording notes, whether that's audio or video, or if you're like me, you want to multitask, then why not use the dictation feature where you can just have it record what you're saying and transcribe that into text notes. The other thing is, with Microsoft Word, I feel like I'm kind of limited. It's great for formatting something like a letter, but I'm kind of limited to the margins of the page and specifically more paragraph formats. Sure, I can insert a picture, but I am a little more limited on where I'm going to put it, where that canvas, if you will, the page of your notebook is almost like a digital whiteboard where you can take notes wherever you want, drag them around in those note containers, layer them on top of each other if you want, just a lot more flexibility with how you like to take your notes and how you want to visualize those on the page.
Awesome. Well, we always, you know, one of our foundational things for Joe and I in the Shift Show is like meeting users where they are and trying to understand from their perspective. If they have to change a business process or change their lifestyle in some way, their digital lifestyle, mm-hmm. it's got to be worth it, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are a lot of really good reasons why I think OneNote is better. And you said something about, you know, being confined to the margins or having the structure of a letter is fine. There's a lot of structure that you can build into OneNote. It has all these like little components inside of it and all these decisions that you can make as far as like how you build your notebook. Mm-hmm. And so back to the Trapper Keeper analogy, that was basically a three-ring binder with sections inside of it and pages inside of sections. And you can do that with OneNote. So can you give us like a anatomy of a notebook kind of summary?
Yeah, sure. And you know, I usually get this question, Joe, of like, how should I structure my notebook, or how big or small should I keep it? Like, what makes sense with that? And I say start small. Like you mentioned, you have sections. So it gives you one section to get started. Maybe you just start adding some pages to that section to get a feel for like, what kind of notes am I taking and what structure would work well for this? And then from there, you can decide if you need additional sections. You can also decide like, how many notebooks do I need? Is it just one notebook? Or do I need multiple notebooks? Maybe I want a notebook that is for this project, or I want a notebook for all of the things I'm working on for this year, and then next year I'm going to start a new notebook, right? So it's going to vary, but I say don't let it intimidate you if you're brand new to it. You could even start with something maybe that's not work-related. You have a project at home, like you're tracking your budget, or maybe you're doing a home renovation, planning a party. It's great for all of those things, and if you turn it into something that you can do just a little bit each day, you'll kind of figure out that note-taking flow and how you want to structure it.
Joe and I use OneNote obviously a lot, and I say obviously because we're nerds and you know it's what we're supposed to do. And so our notebook has lots of sections inside of it, and then mm-hmm. we can dig down even further and start grouping sections together into section groups. Mm-hmm. And this is the part where it starts to get really cool, you know, where we're surpassing that Trapper Keeper capability, and now you've built this like infinite notebook that can have everything inside of it. And mm-hmm. It can get a little overwhelming, but Joe likes to use page groups, grouping pages together and collapsing them into subpages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I see him doing that a lot in our notebook. And I imagine, lots of organizational stuff there.
Yeah, I imagine what your life would have been like in 4-H with the, you know, it sounds like you used or participated in a number aspects of 4-H, and mm-hmm. Being able to bring a bunch of different things together but into one place might have been kind of interesting for you.
Yeah, you've got me thinking back to all of those different paper things that we had for each program, right? Kind of tracking all of that individually, but having that all in one place would definitely, but it would have been helpful.
So I heard a great analogy yesterday. One of our friends at Microsoft, Darren Clay, gave a little presentation on OneNote, and it was really kind of serendipitous or something like that, where mm-hmm. we got to talk about OneNote right before we get to talk about OneNote. And and he said that the product team described OneNote as being made for filers and pilers. And I had never heard that before. And that's a really interesting way to think about it. Like, it doesn't matter if you're organized or not, this is going to work for you.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've heard that phrase used for Outlook. So if you think about it, and this is something that anybody here is listening probably uses Outlook, right? You may not have used OneNote, but you also have filers and pilers in Outlook. So if you think about it, do you put all of your stuff in folders that you create, or do you just let it hang out there in your inbox and you go back and you search for it and find the stuff, right? So you can either be a filer, or you can just let it pile up in whatever folder it happens to be in there, and use the great capabilities of kind of searching for that, you know, using those refiner keywords, or does it have attachments, or what date range am I looking for, who it's from. We have a lot of the same capabilities in OneNote to kind of do the same thing.
I find myself to be much more organized when I'm working in OneNote with the team I'm on. But when I keep OneNote for myself at home, I'm definitely the piler. So I'm able to cross both of those piler and filers.
I'm guilty of the same. I'm great about getting those personal notes in there, but I just go and search for them later on.
Yeah, I'm not a very organized one-noter, for sure. Joe basically establishes the structure of the one-note, and I just try to live inside of it. Are there any things that you can do? Like, you talked about search, and search is like this ubiquitous thing now across the whole Office 365 ecosystem, but OneNote has its own search. Mm-hmm. So I can discover a notebook. I've noticed if I search for a term in Teams, if that term exists inside of a notebook, Teams will tell me like, hey, that notebook has that word in it somewhere. Mm-hmm. But then I have to dig into the notebook a little bit further. So can you talk about, you know, just that search experience? Are there things that I can do better, tags or whatnot, to make search work better for me?
Absolutely. So by default, if you're working with one of the OneNote applications on your computer, like they refer to it as the OneNote app now, it used to be OneNote 2016. The default search capability is that it's searching the entire notebook. So whatever you're typing in, it's searching for that. And you can use the keyboard shortcut Control E for that if you're a keyboard shortcut fan. If you use the keyboard shortcut Control F, which is the more known find command that we use in some of the other Office applications, that allows you to search for just a page. So what I really like about the search capabilities is even if you're not using those keyboard shortcuts and you're going to where search is in the application, you can choose to search the entire notebook, a section, as we were mentioning sections before, a section group if you're using that, or even just that page. So you can really do a broad search or refine it down. Where it gets even better is it's not just searching for those typed notes. So it is able to also search for spoken notes. So where I mentioned that you can record audio or video, it will pull up in the results if I said that word during that recording. And in the images or the printouts, if you have a word in there, like let's say that we have the University of Florida logo in a picture that we just took on campus or at an extension agency, and we're searching for Florida, it would find it in those images or those screenshots that are on the pages of that notebook too. So I really find that it's got a lot more search capabilities probably than most other Office applications.
That's interesting, because it sounds like it's got a little bit of like a SharePoint-y type search going on in there.
Mm-hmm. It does, yeah. Cool.
So you talked about dictation and transcription. There, I don't want to skip ahead too far, but I think at this point, Joe and I are super excited. There's a new feature that came out that lets you join a transcription session that was initiated by Microsoft Translate. So the idea is an educator starts a Microsoft Translate session, and then note takers in the class can all join it, and it automatically takes class notes for you. What?
I love it.
Where my Trapper Keeper could never have done that. Are you seeing that yet in your OneNote-y type experiences, or is that an education thing, I wonder?
I think it might be an education thing, unless I've just missed it. You know, it's possible that it's there, and I just haven't, you know, I'm usually good about finding those new little gems that are in there, but I haven't seen it yet. I can tell you, though, that there is a translate feature in OneNote. So if I had a document that, let's say, was in Spanish or German, and I need to translate it to English, you can select that text or select the page, and it will translate it for you. You pick the language you want to translate it to. So that's one I have seen.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Again, they sprinkle around these features throughout the whole system and expose them in various apps. And it's just, Joe and I did a whole episode on translate, transcribe, dictate, all that, just all the different places that it's at. And it's definitely in OneNote. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
And I'm just, you just described that translate feature. And the ability to get basically your dictated notes transcribed, your audio notes transcribed in there. Those are just, I don't know, those are two features I hadn't even discovered myself. You know, we use OneNote a lot. There's mm-hmm. so much in there. Just, it's hidden, little gems.
Yeah, if you just go in and poke around the options in the desktop app, you would be surprised what is in there as far as default settings, and then what you can configure as far as audio quality when you're recording your audio and everything else, and then setting the languages that it supports. There's a lot of things in there.
It's sort of related to this. So when you record your audio, like you're getting an audio file, and that reminds me of going back to the beginning of if I were comparing OneNote to like a Word document, the kind of media that you can shove into a note, into like a page, is really cool. Like I accidentally the other day pasted a YouTube video, and it made a player for the YouTube video right into OneNote. I had no idea it was even going to do that.
Yeah, and if you think about it from an academic perspective or even a research perspective, that's pretty cool that you can play it right there within the page. You don't have to go out to the browser and then go back to where you were in your note-taking flow, right? You can set everything up, and it's great for teachers and students too to be able to do that, that they can almost create a lesson plan, if you will, or a lesson where the kids are all playing the video and then what's the assignment below that they need to do, and then maybe a quiz over on this page that they need to work on. And the other cool thing about that you just got me thinking about, Dwayne, is page version history. I've seen teachers using it for this reason too, where they will put their notes in a certain order on the page and then they can play it back. So you have like, you can play back the order in which things happened on that page. And that's just a different approach than maybe having to create like a PowerPoint presentation if you want things animated in a certain way. So there's a lot of cool capabilities with it.
It's funny that you say that, using OneNote for a presentation. Joe, we did that once, right?
Yeah, like 2019 for our Edgy Days, we used OneNote as, you know, as what we shared out to the audience and just moved around pages. I don't know why we did that other than...
It was your fault, really, that's why.
It's my fault.
I'm not saying it was bad. It was definitely different.
We'll just go with it. We didn't have the whiteboard app at that time, and you wanted to make it seem more like a digital whiteboard experience, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we wanted to do something different. That's
it worked. Doing something it worked different. For sure. And and like he said, we just wanted to do something different and have the experience, and it worked out pretty well. So you talked about version, like replaying notes and versions and stuff like that. Another consistency through the Office 365 system is when I modify something, it doesn't overwrite, you know, my previous version. Like I still have, Joe and I call it like some file integrity. Like I can go back. There's some extra bits and pieces in OneNote, right? As far as like reviewing history and changes and stuff like that. So how do I know my notes are safe if it's like a team notebook?
Yeah, so whether it's an individual notebook or like that shared notebook where we've got a group of people that are collaborating in it, one of the great things about OneNote that I discovered, it was one of the first apps to automatically save the work that was happening in there. So there was no having to go and click on save. Of course, now if your notebook's living in a cloud location, because when it first came out, it was just local on your computer. So whether it's local or it's a cloud notebook and you're taking your notes in it, it is being automatically saved. And if it is a cloud notebook, it's automatically being synced back to that document library like OneDrive, SharePoint, or Teams. You do have a version history. You even have a page version history, depending on which OneNote application you're working with, just to kind of dig back through what's happened on that page, maybe not necessarily the entire notebook file, right? And then you also have a history where, let's say that you take a fabulous vacation or you're offsite working somewhere for a week and you come back and you want to see what everyone's been doing in that shared notebook while you were gone. You can say, show me all of the notes that Joe made, or show me all of the notes that Dwayne made, or show me the notes that have been things that have been edited or added since yesterday or for the last 7 days. And it goes through and it highlights and it presents all of those in a panel for you that you can go through and look at all of those notes. It's a quick way for you to kind of be able to catch up on what's going on, especially if you have a lot of sections and pages in that notebook.
That's a great analogy of like coming back, you know, from a trip or something, and you basically get like a catch me up button, you know. what's my team been doing, and is there anything new I should know about without having to scroll through a mailbox, you know?
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know if you've seen the newer feature in the web apps when you're in Word, like, you know, here, catch me up on what's happened with these other people, or here's where you left off, right? I almost wonder if they took it from OneNote, if they got their inspiration from that original capability being there.
I definitely think that there's some reusing of technology, and I don't blame them one bit for doing it. But yeah, if it's already there and it already works, you know, keep going and expose it throughout these apps. So this next thing is kind of a can of worms. And so we are, you know, the messaging a couple years ago was move away from the OneNote. I think at the time it was referred to as OneNote 2016 or OneNote 2013 app. And that app actually came with your installation of Microsoft Office. Mm-hmm. And they said, start moving towards the new OneNote for Windows 10 app, which was like one of their new universal apps. But now they're kind of changing course. Do you have any insight if I'm a user, like, what should I start with? Like, what one note should I get kicked off with?
So if you have a choice, you know, in some organizations, they, you know, the IT department kind of defines like what's going to be supported, what is secure, what are we using, right? So they might have already, your company may have decided that they're going to go with one or the other. If you have the choice, like maybe for at home on your personal computer and you want to know which one do I want to take notes with, then I would say the OneNote app, which Duane, you were just referring to it as the previous version was OneNote 2016. So you'll hear both terms used for that. So there's on a Windows computer, there's two different installed applications. There's the OneNote for Windows 10 and then the OneNote app. The OneNote app is going to have a much more robust set of tools. It does have some more powerful tools than maybe OneNote for Windows 10 does. There are some functionality differences, though, like we were talking about dictation. That's available in OneNote for Windows 10 and in the web app, where it's not available in the OneNote app. Now, of course, that's if you have a choice. Now, OneNote for Windows 10 is still going to be supported for a few more years. So you have some time if that's the app that you're working in or if that's the app that's being supported by your company or your organization to go ahead and work with that one for now and then make the switch over. There's not going to be a lot of learning curve or difference, a little bit of a difference in maybe the way you navigate the application or maybe where a few things are. But the great news is if there is anything different in that app that's going away, they're going to try their best to bring over a lot of those things to the OneNote app. So we don't know what's going to be brought over yet, but it sounds like some of those more popular tools, if it's capable of and available, you know, that Microsoft is going to try and bring a lot of those unique things in.
Are you seeing the web version of Outlook? Is it staying ahead? Is it behind? Where is it kind of an aspect between the other, you know, the desktop apps?
So the web app has a lot of great functionality as well. It also has the dictation capability that we were mentioning earlier. It also has that page version history that we were talking about earlier. So there are some things that you might find in that application that may not be available or might be available in a different way within the OneNote app that we're talking about for the desktop. But it's pretty powerful considering that it's a web app. And I didn't think that I would hang out there as much as I have been lately because I was always that I'm the OneNote 2016 person. And, you know, I'm not so sure about if I want to go to OneNote for Windows 10. I was kind of that person back when that whole thing was happening that Duane was talking about. But I've embraced all of them and tried to get to know them as best I can to be able to support everyone on them. And they all have their pros and cons, right? You know, but it's just which one is going to work best for the note taking that you're doing, the type of projects and notes that you're working on.
And we have a mobile version of these of OneNote too, right? So we have that across. Is there an iPad version, you know, Android, Apple?
Yeah. It's supported for both your Apple and Android devices, so you can also, you know, use it on your tablets or your phones for both of those devices. I love it. One of the things that I like is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Lens app. Did either of you ever use Office Lens?
Yeah.
So it has the same similar capabilities built into it. So if you're on a page taking notes and you tap the camera, it'll let you choose, like, do I want to take a picture of a document or of a I think it's a document or a photo. There's three options. You don't have, I think, the business card like you had in the Office Lens app, but it still has the same functionality where it will crop and flatten and change the brightness and color of it to get it the best it can. And then it inserts it as a note within your notebook.
That's really cool because I can imagine our agents, a lot of our agents have Surface devices or tablets. They could be out at a citrus field, helping a farmer look at their crop, take a photo and bring it right into OneNote of mm-hmm. perhaps some citrus disease or something like that. And then I guess on a tablet, it's probably really great to use actual inking, right? You could use mm-hmm. inking right into OneNote and just mark that image up and maybe take it back to the office to do some more research or something like that.
Yeah, I could see some definite great case uses for the mobile app for them.
I big fan of the Galaxy Pen.
Do you know where that ink came from?
I have no idea. I'd love to know though.
So for anybody that's not familiar with Galaxy ink, it looks like a galaxy, right? It's got the purples and what looks like the stars and everything in it. That actually came from real Hubble Space Telescope photography footage that they made that ink pattern out of.
That is super cool. Yeah, my daughter had, back, you know, when we used to go to work, not that we don't go to work now, you know what I mean, but we used to go in person. My daughter had come to our office building, and we were testing an 86-inch touchscreen display. And I brought her into the room, and I was like, watch this. And I connected my Surface to it, and I put OneNote up, and I put it in touch mode and showed her the Galaxy Pen and just let her go to town on it. she drew all kinds of awesome stuff.
There's a great story. I think it was a kindergarten class, or it was an elementary class, where somebody from the OneNote team was in there speaking to the kids and was asking, like, if there's one thing that you could wish for to have in OneNote, what would it be? And that's actually how the texture inks came about. There was a girl in the class, I believe it was, that asked for glitter or sparkle ink, I think is what she was asking for. So if you look for it out there, I think there's like a Reddit or something that tells the story about that.
That's really cool. That's taking customer feedback seriously, right? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So I guess let's. I wish there was like a matrix. If Joe and I try to find it, we will drop a link as the best thing that we could find in the chat, or I'm sorry, in the show notes, about which OneNote does what, because we are going to be in this situation for a couple of years now, probably, that I just think users should know. Like, there are certain features that only work in one flavor of the OneNote app, which will definitely lead to some confusion. But the like you said earlier, the general idea here that Microsoft has said is they are moving in the direction of what is now known as the OneNote app, mm-hmm. as opposed to like the OneNote for Windows 10 app. So you may find yourself, if you're out there listening, thinking about using OneNote, you might want to try them, you know, rotate through them, see which one works best for you at the moment. If you're not seeing a feature, maybe flip over to a different one and try it. But you can be in the same notebook and all of them at the same time, and it doesn't hurt anything. So I've been flipping between them. I'm actually a OneNote for Windows 10 person. And so just yesterday I started experimenting, or I guess revisiting the desktop app, thinking like, I might should look at this again. So pretty funny.
What's a good way to get started with OneNote? Just educating them on the platform. I think we've talked about how powerful it is, and don't want them to feel like there's just so much to learn in there to get started. But are there some great ways to get in, you know, just to learn about OneNote and start using it?
Yeah, there definitely are. You know, as far as like free resources that are available out there, support.office.com. If you go to that site and then select OneNote, there's all sorts of great videos and articles to help you with learning OneNote. There's also some books out there that I authored for Microsoft that are free to download to help you with that as well. If you have a LinkedIn Learning subscription or with a lot of local library cards, you can also get access to LinkedIn Learning. There's a lot of great OneNote content out there by myself, as well as other excellent LinkedIn Learning instructors.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And on social media, of course, follow OneNote there. On any of the social media sites, you can pretty much find OneNote, and they're always sharing the latest and greatest.
So those at our university automatically have access to LinkedIn Learning, but you mentioned sometimes library cards get it for you too. I didn't know that.
Yeah, at least I know here in Volusia County and some of the other surrounding counties, if you look, there's a way for you to log in with your library card number, and then I think the PIN or whatever that's associated with that.
Wow, that is a heck of a resource right there, because there's so much good stuff on LinkedIn Learning. You can learn how to do anything. pretty close to it. We'll drop some links, obviously, in the show notes to those things. You provided us a link to, what was it, 5 or 6 little small books about OneNote?
Yeah, I think there's 4 or 5 out there for sure.
Okay. We'll drop that in the show notes for everybody. Those are free to download, and you can take a peek at those. And that's a good getting started point as well. Joe, you got anything else? Like, I'm feeling really good about OneNote. Like, I'm just going to go note everything.
I've learned some new tips on this call myself. So, you know, if there's any other, you know, top 5 tips or something like that, you know, glad to hear it. But I'm excited to go try. I want to try the audio portion and see what that goes.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, there's a few more I'll share that I think might be helpful to everyone. And one of those is, if you're not sure how to lay out the things on the page as far as taking your notes. That OneNote app that we've been talking about that is included with your Office 365 subscription now as a download if you don't have it, gives you the capability to use pre-built templates. So you already have some page templates that you can install or add to your page for taking meeting notes or for, you know, tracking those to-dos, or there's even pages, pre-built pages set up for the academic world. So I think that's one thing that could be helpful. And while I'm mentioning meeting notes, it also integrates really well with Outlook. So if you have a meeting coming up, instead of typing all those notes in by hand of what the meeting was, what the date was, who attended, an area for action items, you can connect that meeting in. You can pull in all those meeting details. It even lists the people that are a part of that meeting with checkboxes to check off attendance if you need to. And it gives you a place to start taking those actionable items. And then one other thing is, we didn't cover it, Joe, but I think you wanted us to talk about tags and metadata. And that is something that I think can really make it more powerful for search, is that you can tag those note containers. And there are pre-built tags that come with it, but you can also build your own tags. So if you want to have a tag for a specific project, for a specific location, you can create that, and then you can apply multiple tags to that container and then search for those tags later on. So another way for you to search across an entire notebook and find all of the things, all of the notes that relate to that topic.
Oh, those are great. I'm thinking of the template right now for our extension agents having a template that they use when they go, I know they're going back now in person doing some type of training session or something like that. They have to keep track of the number of people that they assist, and having maybe a template that records all that information that they just kind of can fill out, maybe take a picture of the class there, you know, or the location where they're doing their training at, and build that right into their OneNote. And then if they tag it, maybe it's, say, a 4-H training, or it's a Master Gardener training, and they could tag that page, and then, I know, maybe monthly go back and record all that information into the mothership of statistics they have to keep annually. So, yeah, that's great. Great tips. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got a question. If you can shed any light on this for me, have you heard anything about, like, there's a built-in, like, take notes button in a Microsoft Teams meeting, and it uses this thing that I'm not too fond of. It's called a wiki, and I don't know. Joe and I have never had great feelings about it since it came out. Is there, like, there were rumors that they might be headed in the direction of being replaced with OneNote. Have you heard anything about that that you're at liberty to share, or?
Well, I know when Teams first came out, OneNote was the default note-taking tool that it was using for Teams meetings, and right now it is Wiki. I don't know of anything that's happening right now with that. What I can say, though, is I know I do hear from other folks that, why do we have Wiki, or what should I use Wiki for? And so in your team, Wiki does have a great use, and what I find that is a great use for that is telling somebody, what is that channel about? Who can I get in touch with if I have questions? Like, maybe who is the person that owns that channel, let's say, or who's the person that owns that team that can help me with this if I'm new to it? Or also, like, frequently asked questions, anything else that would be great information for them to have for the work and the collaboration that they're going to be doing in that channel. But as far as, like, capabilities or status of what's happening with that, I'm sorry, I don't have anything I can share.
Maybe it's just a dream of ours. I mean, we do have to make sure that on every podcast we do complain about something. And so I guess this is it, Joe. Is this what we're going to complain about?
I think OneNote app has made it. They've made it difficult too, but I think we'll take that as one of those times.
Yeah. Okay. So this was awesome. We're going to get all the resources that you sent us into the show notes. We're going to tell people all about, OneNote. Joe and I have done some OneNote trainings in the past, and I'm kind of, I don't know, like, maybe a little OneNote rejuvenated. I want to go check out all the various things, try the transcription. I use Dictate and Word quite a bit, and it never occurred to me that I could just use that in OneNote too. Joe, do you know, I guess I could look right now. I would assume that OneNote has immersive reader in it as well, probably.
It does.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great thing that we've been using a lot lately to kind of vet documents as we write them. We use the immersive reader function and then have it narrate it back to you. And it actually sounds pretty natural. I thought it was pretty good. And so I'm seeing that again, just like versioning and transcriptions and stuff like that, you start to see these little gems all throughout the entire ecosystem make their way into these various apps. And if you haven't tried Immersive Reader before, if you're out there listening, you should definitely check it out, because it's a pretty cool way to review documents or your notes. So Joe and I like to always talk about something positive when we get towards the end of our conversations, our podcast. We call it a win. And so, Joe, we haven't really talked about what our win is yet. I have a feeling I know what it is. But Joe, I'll have you go first, and I'll have Heather go, and just because I want to put Joe on the hot seat.
Well, I'll let you cover that. I'll take a personal one this time.
Okay.
I'm a runner. I try to do a couple half marathons or so every year, and my goal has always been to try to stay under 2 hours. And I had my first half marathon in a couple of years. First time getting back to running, and since COVID, kind of a lot of the events got canceled and things like that. So I had mine in February, and I kept it just under 2 hours, and was pretty happy, because it was definitely further than I've run in quite a while. But I kept my streak going for keeping under 2 hours when I've been healthy.
I run to the refrigerator from my desk. That's awesome, Joe. I commend you for that. And I'm gonna add on to your story there. I happen to know for a fact that on one of the runs, Joe messaged us, you know, the morning of, and he's like, "It's currently 26 degrees, and I'm about to go run a half a marathon."
It was pretty windy that day too. So yeah, that was early this year. It was a little chilly. It helps you run a little faster, I think.
The motivator?
Warm up faster. Oh, yeah.
Heather, you know, anything in the last month or so that's just been super positive, doesn't have to be professional, could be personal, just what do you got that's been good in your life?
I'm going to be going on a vacation, so I'm excited for that. I'm looking forward to actually being able to get out and do something after the last couple of years of being home a lot more. Not that I don't appreciate being home, but just excited to be able to do something. So plan a vacation.
That's awesome. It has been a lot different. Just like Joe just said, you know, getting out and running has been, in a marathon type setting, has been not really possible over the last couple of years. So it is very exciting to be able to, I don't know, have some semblance of normal again, right? Mm-hmm. So my win is also Joe's win. So Joe technically gets 1.5 wins on this episode. So we last week got to go down to the Microsoft office in Tampa for the first since the, you know, lockdown thing started, for the first like little mini conference, and got to see people in person. We actually got to present. So this is the first time that we've presented to an audience that like wasn't our own people in a couple of years in person. Right, Joe? I think it's been
I think 2019 at the same conference.
Yeah. So it's it was a special moment for us, because like Joe said, we've been to this event before and got to speak at it before. And it was just really cool. And I actually saw people. This was super, super weird. Shout out to Dr. Stephanie Stevens. She was the first person I saw after I checked in. And she said, "Hey," and I looked at her and I was like, "Hey," and my brain hadn't quite figured out, like, you know this person. You've just never seen them in real life before. It was a super strange experience to finally start to see people in person again. And it actually did take a second for me to, like, I don't know, re-acclimate to that. Kind of strange. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those are great wins. Vacations, running, and actually getting to see people in person again. So Heather, do you have anything, any OneNote closing, you know, things for us? We really appreciate your time hanging out with us and talking about this. You are the OneNote wizard as far as I'm concerned, so.
Well, thank you. I'll just say, you know, just get in there, take some notes, have some fun with it. you know, if you bullet journal, you can create essentially an equivalent to like a bullet journal almost, you know, in OneNote. If you're someone that likes to use Canva, there's a lot of great things that you can create as far as those page backgrounds and have some fun with your notebooks in that capacity. So yeah, just have some fun with it.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. This is the first time we've ever had a guest on. So we're new at this, but hopefully it turns out all right. We're super happy and honored that you could be our first guest on board the Shift Show. And we're going to try to beam you off in all in one piece. So thank everybody for listening, and we will see you next month. We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Shift Show. If you found our content useful, please consider subscribing and leaving us a 5-star review. This will help others find our show. If you'd like to connect with us, you can find us on LinkedIn or on our homepage at aka.my/shiftshow. We'll beam back next month for a new episode.
Transporter room, stand by to beam up landing party.